So you've been in therapy for years. Maybe you've been in 12-step recovery for years. You've read the books, you know your attachment style, you understand your trauma, and yet you're still waiting to actually feel different. You're still stuck in the same patterns you've been stuck in for a really, really long time. And listen, if I am describing you here, no shame at all, because for a very, very long time, this was me. And then I realized that all of my healing had been from the neck up. I had never actually gotten into my body, and I learned that somatic healing, nervous system regulation, it's not optional. Like, it's not just a suggestion. It is a requirement if you actually want to heal from a dysfunctional childhood. And what do you know? Once I actually started doing that work, I finally started making headway on the patterns that I was starting to think that I was going to be stuck in for the rest of my life. And so I built a course, y'all. It is called Safe Within, and it is everything that has actually worked for me all in one 7-week life journey. It's 3 parts. In the first part, we are going to actually learn how to feel safe in our bodies through practices rooted in somatic experience. Experiencing and polyvagal theory. Then in part 2, through somatic parts work, we are going to get to know the parts of us that are keeping us stuck in places that we don't want to be stuck in. And then in part 3, this is about actually learning how to feel good as a felt experience in your body. Because let's be honest, for so many of us, good feelings are deeply uncomfortable. Calm feels unsafe, joy feels suspicious, and we're going to do something about that, okay? And here's something I want to be really honest about. One of the biggest reasons I struggle to do this work for so long is that I could not get myself to do it alone. Like every day I would tell myself, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then what do you know, at the end of the day, I had not done X, Y, and Z. This was day after day after day, year after year after year. And so part of what I built into this intentionally is the accountability piece. We meet live, you show up. You can't just talk yourself out of it the way that you can when you're trying to do this stuff on your own. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're going to be perfectly healed after 7 weeks, but what I do think is that you are going to feel a hell of a lot more connected to your body. You are going to feel much safer actually being in your body, and you're going to walk away with tools that you will use for years, if not for the rest of your damn life. And I want to make this very, very clear. You do not need to have any prior experience with IFS, with parts work, somatic work to do this course. None. You can show up having never heard of any of these words before, and you will be taken care of. I will guide you through every single step. So we start July 1st. When you sign up, you also get 2 months free in the shit show with access to all of our weekly support groups and everything else that we got going on in there. So you, yes, you, yes, you, the person who knows that they need to sign up, the person who is currently in their head right now, thinking about how I need to do this course, get out of your damn head and get into your damn body. Take that little hand of yours, get on your computer or on your phone, and just sign the hell up already. Go to adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin, adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to email me directly at Andrea@adultchildpodcast.com. Do it. Do it now. All right. Why social situations are so hard for adult children? For many of us, social situations don't feel like opportunities for connection. They feel like tests we're not sure we can pass. The anxiety, the hypervigilance, the exhaustion afterward, it makes sense when you understand where it comes from. This isn't a personality flaw or a character weakness. It's what happens when the people and places that were supposed to teach us how to connect weren't safe enough to learn in. We learned that people aren't safe. In many of our homes, the people who were supposed to be the safest, our parents, our family, were also the source of our pain. We learned early that closeness comes with risk, that vulnerability gets used against you, and that you can't always trust what people show you on the surface. So we carried that lesson out into the world with us. Every new relationship, every social situation, gets filtered through that original wound. Healthy connection was never modeled. Most of us didn't grow up watching adults navigate conflict with respect, repair, ruptures, or just enjoy each other's company without an agenda. What we saw was dysfunction, maybe enmeshment, maybe emotional unavailability, maybe explosive conflict or walking on eggshells. So we entered adulthood without a blueprint for what healthy relating actually looks like. We're trying to learn a language nobody ever taught us. We don't know who we are. When you grow up in a home where your job is to manage everyone else's emotions, your own identity gets pushed to the back burner. You become who you needed to be to survive. So now in social situations, you're not just figuring out how to connect with someone, you're simultaneously trying to figure out who you even are. That's an exhausting thing to be doing in real time. Relationships feel transactional. In many of our families, love and affection weren't freely given. They were earned. Approval came with conditions. Kindness often had strings attached, and care was something you had to perform for. So now when someone is genuinely kind to us, part of us is waiting for the catch. We struggle to receive without wondering what it's going to cost us. And we give compulsively because that's what we learned love looks like. We're performing instead of being present. Because we never felt safe enough to just be ourselves, we became experts at reading what other people need and becoming that. In social situations, this means we're rarely actually in the conversation. We're managing it. We're watching, adapting, calculating. And then we go home exhausted and somehow still feel like we did it wrong. Real connection requires presence, and presence requires safety we were never given. We're always bracing for rejection or shame. Somewhere along the way, we internalize the message that we are too much, not enough, or fundamentally flawed. So we walk into social situations already on trial. An awkward silence, a weird look, someone seeming distracted, our nervous system reads all of it as evidence that we've done something wrong or that we're about to be cast out. The anticipation of rejection becomes almost worse than rejection itself, and it keeps us from ever fully relaxing into connection. And this is why a community like this is such a profound part of healing. In a space like this one, we get to have a different experience, maybe for the first time. We learn that people can be safe, that belonging doesn't have to be earned, and that we don't have to contort ourselves into whoever we think the room needs us to be. The parts of us we were most afraid to show, the anxiety, the shame, the thoughts we thought made us too much, turns out to be the very thing that makes us feel less alone. So, in what ways do you struggle in social situations? Can you think of a recent social situation that brought up some of these feelings, or one that was evidence of your healing even in the smallest way? Which of these root causes resonates most with your own experience? How has being part of this community started to shift any of these patterns for you? And is there a version of yourself that you find easier to show up as here than you do in the outside world? What feels different about this space? So this is an area that I've actually feel I've had so much progress and so much growth in. And the two main roots for me were, one, the always bracing to be abandoned, and the relationships feel transactional. Those were the two biggest things for me. And before the meeting, I was just reflecting back on certain things. So I think that one of the things that pushed people away from me was I just oozed this neediness within me. And I just needed constant reassurance. And if I didn't hear back from someone, if it took them a long time to text me back, I'm automatically assuming that I did something wrong. I remember when I used to go out of town. I remember this time I was maybe a couple years sober. I went to Paris with my mom, and it was like every day I needed to call my friends, like just to make sure that they still liked me. Because I had this belief in my head that just my absence itself, just by me not being physically present, that they were going to decide that they didn't like me. Like me not even having to do anything. That if I just was away, if I was out of their mind, if I was out of their sight, that they were just going to decide that they didn't like me anymore. And it was just being in this constant space of just waiting for people to abandon me. And then I think about the thinking that just me by myself, like somebody wouldn't want to be in a relationship or friendship with me just for me as myself. Like I think I've shared the story before about how, you know, if I wanted to go to a concert or to dinner, I would make up that I had a gift certificate or like I had an extra ticket or that my parents were going to pay for something because I didn't think that somebody would want to just go to dinner or go to a concert just to go for me. Well, maybe they'd want to go, but they're not going to want to pay money to actually spend time with me.
I think the biggest thing for me that shifted is my sense of self is not rocked by other people now. Like when a relationship ends, I'm able to acknowledge if I have a part in something, but like I'm not automatically assuming that the reason that this friendship ended is because there's something fundamentally flawed about me. I'm not constantly worried about, did I do something wrong? Like if I don't hear back from somebody, I'm pretty self-aware. I typically know if there's something that I've done, but I also trust that if I have done something, I have upset somebody, well, it's their responsibility to share that with me. And if somebody who's not going to do that, I don't know if I necessarily like want to have that close of a relationship with them. Like I want people that can, that feel comfortable, like opening up to me. I was thinking about how I used to just trauma dump on strangers all the time. And now I, you know, I'm much more discerning, but also too, if I get a vibe that somebody's not digging me, what I'm putting out, that's fine. Like, that's totally fine. Like, I don't need you to like me because I really like me. I like genuinely really like me. And I know that I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And that's also like something that I really like about myself, right? Like I'm a little weird. I'm a little weird and that's fun. You know, I'm whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So just not having my sense of self be dictated by whether somebody else approves of me or not is such a big relief. And don't get me wrong, that's not to say that I'll never feel these things or even a little bit, but generally speaking, you know, I'm good. So yeah, it's huge growth for me.
All of these really, really, I can relate to and experienced all of them growing up. And it's really affected me as an adult. I think the biggest one right now is performing instead of being present. And my therapist actually called me out on this the other day because we were a billboard family. We all had our role. We had to perform a certain way outside the house. Everyone thought that we were the perfect family. Nobody knew what was really happening behind closed doors. And I fall into that performative state so naturally. And I'm catching myself more now. I still think that my kids are probably the only two people that really know me authentically and love me for it. They love my weirdness. They love me when I'm down. They love me when I'm neutral. And that's really cool. But it's really hard to not, like even with my friends, I really struggle with just not defaulting to surface level conversation or constantly reading everyone's emotions and reading the room and then adjusting how I'm performing for that. And I hate that. Like, I'm so sick of performing. I'm exhausted. I'm going to be 41 in a couple weeks. And like, I have been doing it my whole life. But at the same time, it is incredibly scary to think of having to go into a social situation without that mask. And to be honest, this community has really helped me with that. I think that the reason why, I've said this before, one of the reasons why I'm here in intensive treatment is because I was able to unravel myself with you all and be vulnerable and recognize that I needed more help. And I think that this community has also accepted me, like me authentically. And you all have seen me in some of my darkest moments and still care about me. So it's been really great to feel that. And I think that that has helped me be able to participate in group therapies here and be comfortable with my milieu and be comfortable with advocating for myself when somebody does or says something that's really inappropriate. I don't think that I would have been able to do that if I didn't have the experiences that I've had here, because it's really scary to be vulnerable. And especially these type of subjects, like these are, it's just, there's so many layers, there's so much pain and suffering. And it's just really cool to be around people that get it. So I'm hopeful that, I know it's going to take a long time because it's something I've been using my entire life. But I think every year I get a little bit better. And I do at least catch myself when I'm trying to put on that performance. And we had a group therapy session yesterday. It was identifying emotions. Super fun. But the therapist had said, hold on, I got to find it in my journal. She said, like, if you want something, you need to do it with yourself first. So like for safety, like I want to feel safe. Okay, well, I have to be safe with myself first. So that means I have got to lock in on these maladaptive behaviors. If I want to feel safe, I need to feel safe with going to people, but I also need to feel safe in myself or like respect. I want self-respect. I want, okay, if I want people to respect me, then I need to start respecting myself first. And I think that that starts with me showing up as my authentic true self, whoever, I don't even know who that is still because I'm having so many identity crises. But yeah, I think I'm gonna end there.
Oh man, everybody shares, so relatable. Every last bullet point in your reading, so relatable. For me, my biggest struggle is social in groups because if it's just one-on-one, I can manage, and it's really hard with a group of four friends or three, me and three friends. It's hard to manage every single person and make sure, are they talking, are two of them talking about me behind my back because they whispered a funny inside joke, you know, just that, just being terrified, because that happened to me all the time as a kid. Like I'd have a good friend, but then you introduce somebody else, and then that friend who wasn't a friend at all would turn and wow, you know. So there's a lot there. And there in my home, kindness came with strings. Kindness was very dangerous. And I'm still trying to put words to what my inner child feels. This is the 6, 7, and 8 year old, but my mom was so dangerous with that. And all it results in today is when I see someone being kind to me, there's just almost a panic with tears. And oh crap, I'm fixing to get it. Something's fixing to happen. So that's an issue that, gosh, allowing kindness, allowing someone else to do something for me is just whoa. And I have allowed that. That was a big project this year. I asked a friend to come help build a gazebo in my backyard, and her husband did most of the work. And I just was hero support through it, but I let it happen. And it was so good, and the place is so peaceful and lovely, and I'm so thankful to have them in my life to be able to enjoy that. And I also, through the world of pickleball and recently Mahjong, am learning that there are people that I encounter socially that are extremely serious about competition, and I'm not as much. But I'm learning that that doesn't have anything to do with me. And the things that has changed for me is in those moments, I'm sitting there quietly with it, and I am actively saying, there is nothing to change here. This is just play, you know. And so that is probably one of my progress notes that has been made. And then also with my mom, that if I showed the real me, that was used against me to shame or embarrass me in front of other people. And so that also can make things really difficult in social situations. So in regards to with the group and the shit show here, I love being able to just pop out anything I want. And I know even if there's no response or even just a few responses, that somebody gets it. Somebody's been there, somebody's seen it. And with everybody doing the work, that is so encouraging to continue coming and trying to contribute. And then also my final thing is, I've always considered myself an introvert. Now, once you get to know me, it's over. I'm gonna talk your ear off. But I've always considered myself an introvert, and I am starting to wonder if that recharge time that I feel that I need, or I think that I need, has more to do with performance and less to do with who I really am. And so I'm kind of trying to explore and feel that out a little bit and be curious. One of the great IFSCs, be curious about that. And I think I'm going to stop there. And thank you so much.
This is a great topic. I like the part where there was no example of how to make a connection growing up. That is so accurate. Like I never learned it. I never learned how to help my kids make friends because no one ever helped me with that. And then I remember probably in my 20s realizing that my mother, the way she showed love was to like give things, give gifts. Like Christmas was always like a huge deal. And your birthday, you were like the special person. But other than that, it was nothing. And then I went through a period where I was trying to do that, and that really wasn't working for me either. Just feeling a connection is really rare for me, one that I feel like I could call on or just feel like they like me for me, not because they need something. And it's that people pleasing, like I have to make sure everything is good for the other person, otherwise they wouldn't want to be there, right? And then also, I think when there has been that point where someone does want to connect, I'm always like, whoa, what's wrong with you that you want to connect with me? And you ask an example, and it was funny because last night I went to a baseball game with three of my college friends. We were talking, our 40th reunion is next year. And there were three friends, and we've all been roommates. We were all roommates at one point in college. We were all the same major. And whenever I go out with one of them one-on-one, it's like there's never been a drop. It's like we can talk and it's right back at it. But the other thing is, it's like whenever we get together as a group, we don't do that unless I'm the one that organizes it. And I was just laughing at myself because last night I'm the one that got the tickets and I'm the one that made the whole thing happen. But then I ended up bringing my son and his friends. So I was sitting with them and they were sitting together and they're all talking, and I'm like sitting in the back, just feeling kind of left out. But I was just observing that. And the other thing is, when I was in college, I was drinking so much that I was the one that was the fun. Let's go party. Let's go do this, you know? So it's just weird, the role. And then last night, I was just kind of thinking to myself, I do love these people. Like, they're very good people. But I also don't feel that. Like, if I didn't plan it, would we be here? Probably not, you know? So it's just interesting how you get into these roles and it's so hard to get out. And I love baseball, so that's why we're at a baseball game. So it's not like I'm just doing these things for them, but you know, I do pick the things I like, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't really feel included. And also that's me. Like I'll be there and I'll be included and I'll still feel like not included. I don't know. It's very complicated. Connection is hard.
This is an area where I think that I've probably had the most growth. I've been a part of this community for 2.5 years, and I'm really comfortable with myself and the way that I interact and show up socially and the ways that I don't. And thinking about where I was coming into this community, I've always really put myself down about things that I liked, my hobbies, my interests. I was never really somebody who was kind of always on the periphery of every social group, but I never really felt this true acceptance and belonging. And I had a lot of doubts about myself because of that. And just reflecting on the reading and other people's shares, I'm just thinking that's not true for me anymore. And I really do think so much of it is because I feel so accepted here and I feel like I belong here. And it gives me the confidence to not feel so, I guess, rejected if I'm not included or in something, or like, oh, you know, I wanted to be better friends with that person, but they didn't invite me or whatever, you know. And that was something that I just got so bent out of shape about. And it would take me weeks to recover from that. And it feels really stable now, thinking about how secure I feel with knowing when I want to engage socially with other people and when I need time to myself, and that there's nothing wrong with that. I came from my mother, she just found so many things wrong with me because I wasn't like her. And that showed up pretty significantly in my college experience, and we had very different college experiences. But now, like saying, no, I don't want to do that, or thank you for asking, but I don't want to, or also asking somebody to do something, whatever the outcome is I'm can handle that, you know. And it's been really remarkable just reflecting on all of this for the past half hour or whatever. So I appreciate that. And it's good to just to recognize and see how much growth I have, and to feel, and this is kind of similar to what Andrea was saying, to feel like, oh, I really like myself, and not to just put myself down because I'm not this way or I'm not that way. Yeah, so it feels really good. Thank you.
So, a lot of therapy, and I used to be a wreck in social situations. Afterwards, I would literally go into my head and like think of every little thing I said that was wrong and drive myself absolutely insane. And thanks to therapy, I don't do that anymore. A lot of what you said, Andrea, I can relate to. That being said, though, I am an introvert. I'm in my mid-50s. I don't go out a lot anymore and whatnot. And next month, I am going to travel back home. And I am going to see people I haven't seen in years, if not decades. And I'm a little stressed out about that because that's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot. And I need time to recharge, and I recognize I'm not going to get it. Why, when I saw that this was the topic, I was like, ooh, yes, please, because y'all need to tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm grateful for the fact that apparently everybody tells me I'm funny. Half the time, I'm not trying to be funny, but, and I do lean heavily on that once I start, my battery starts to drain, and I'm just kind of like, okay, try to go into cruise control on that. But I kind of lost the thread there, but yeah, I'm stressed out about next month.
May I say something?
Go for it.
Dion, your comment really prompted me, and I can only speak from where looking at where I was and where I believe I am now. And where I was is I was totally socially incompetent, and I had a position that required me to be objective, non-judgmental, sort of politically neutral host and interaction in a number of events that I had to attend for work. And I would just find a corner and hide until a therapist talked to me about focusing on what I need. Because when I was in those situations, it was, as people have shared, everybody's looking at me, or everybody's talking about me, or everybody's ignoring me, or I don't fit in, or what am I going to say? And as some people said, by the time I figure out what I'm going to say, the conversation is a whole different place. And I think where I have worked to now, and it's taken a lot because I don't believe that I deserve it, et cetera, I'm having to really change my way of looking at myself, is I now enter those situations focused on self-care and self-love. That is, I always went in as a like a victim, like I had no judgment in deciding how I was going to, I would just be a wreck. And so now I go into situations as me. I don't need the approval. I don't need the judgment, because this is people that they are talking, that they're whatever, but that has nothing to do with me. And relatives, when my mom or my father died, I had no contact with the family. There was zero, zero. I don't know any of them. And out of the blue, when he passed, how this happened, someone called me up and invited me to a family reunion on my father's side, a celebration. It was like, what? Who are these people? And I didn't go, but thinking of my work and so-called friend groups, I put myself first, not in a selfish way, but not allowing myself to sink back into, I don't fit, I don't fit. Well, maybe I don't. So it's like, so what? It doesn't bother me like that anymore. So I would encourage thinking of self-love, of self-protection, and all that you've done to achieve where you are now. And when I acknowledge where I am now, what I've achieved, I don't lose it. It's like it makes it stronger. And I too considered myself so funny. That was my defense. But you know what I realized? I was using myself as the topic of making people laugh. Don't do that anymore. And along with that, I've separated myself from people that used to be friends because I don't want to show up as that anymore. And when I say I don't want to show up as that anymore, it also means I'm not going to give it to them. I'm not going to be who they enjoyed. So just remember everything you've achieved. Everything you achieved, and there's no reason for you not to be there. and hold strong to Dion. And they think what it, they don't know you, and they haven't known you, and they haven't sought you out. You be you, because you are wonderful, remember. Thank you.
You be you.
Thank you, Sandra.
So you've been in therapy for years. Maybe you've been in 12-step recovery for years. You've read the books, you know your attachment style, you understand your trauma, and yet you're still waiting to actually feel different. You're still stuck in the same patterns you've been stuck in for a really, really long time. And listen, if I am describing you here, no shame at all, because for a very, very long time, this was me. And then I realized that all of my healing had been from the neck up. I had never actually gotten into my body, and I learned that somatic healing, nervous system regulation, it's not optional. Like, it's not just a suggestion. It is a requirement if you actually want to heal from a dysfunctional childhood. And what do you know? Once I actually started doing that work, I finally started making headway on the patterns that I was starting to think that I was going to be stuck in for the rest of my life. And so I built a course, y'all. It is called Safe Within, and it is everything that has actually worked for me all in one 7-week live journey. It's three parts. In the first part, we are going to actually learn how to feel safe in our bodies through practices rooted in somatic experience. Experiencing and polyvagal theory. Then in part two, through somatic parts work, we are going to get to know the parts of us that are keeping us stuck in places that we don't want to be stuck in. And then in part three, this is about actually learning how to feel good as a felt experience in your body. Because let's be honest, for so many of us, good feelings are deeply uncomfortable. Calm feels unsafe, joy feels suspicious, and we're going to do something about that, okay? And here's something I want to be really honest about. One of the biggest reasons I struggle to do this work for so long is that I could not get myself to do it alone. Like every day I would tell myself, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then what do you know, at the end of the day, I had not done X, Y, and Z. This was day after day after day, year after year after year. And so part of what I built into this intentionally is the accountability piece. We meet live, you show up. You can't just talk yourself out of it the way that you can when you're trying to do this stuff on your own. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're going to be perfectly healed after 7 weeks, but what I do think is that you are going to feel a hell of a lot more connected to your body. You are going to feel much safer actually being in your body, and you're going to walk away with tools that you will use for years, if not for the rest of your damn life. And I want to make this very, very clear. You do not need to have any prior experience with IFS, with parts work, somatic work to do this course. None. You can show up having never heard of any of these words before, and you will be taken care of. I will guide you through every single step. So we start July 1st. When you sign up, you also get 2 months free in the shit show with access to all of our weekly support groups and everything else that we got going on in there. So you, yes, you, yes, you, the person who knows that they need to sign up, the person who is currently in their head right now, thinking about how I need to do this course, get out of your damn head and get into your damn body. Take that little hand of yours, get on your computer or on your phone, and just sign the hell up already. Go to adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin, adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to email me directly at Andrea@adultchildpodcast.com. Do it. Do it now.